welcome to the One Goal U.S. Soccer Podcast. George, I'm going to assume you're doing pretty well today. We had a soccer game. The U.S. was playing in it. They were playing Wales. It was 0-0. But first off, I guess we'll ask anyways, how are you doing today?
I'm doing absolutely wonderful. Woke up, the sun was shining, the birds were chirping. I was playing Born in the USA. It was absolutely incredible. And I just could not be happier to have seen my national team play today.
Yeah, man. It was exciting. Everyone was a little upset about the starting lineup. We can run through that real quick. But as well, I'm very happy. We saw the national team play. It was on my TV, and I was just very excited. But quickly, let's run through the lineup for us. We had Zach Steffen in goal, Anthony Robinson left back, John Brooks, Matt Miazga, Serginio Dest, Tyler Adams, Weston McKinney, Yunus Musa, Giovanni Reyna, Conor De La Fuente on the wings, and then Sebastian Lazette as the false nine. So initially, obviously, 0-0, not the most exciting game. But when you saw the lineup, what were your first thoughts?
Well, there was originally the lineup that had Nicolas Giochini in instead of Yunus Musa. And then U.S. Soccer deletes a tweet. They say, never mind, this is the actual lineup. And Yunus Musa is there instead of Giochini. Giochini's on the bench. And so then it kind of became a point of, okay, if Giochini's not in, who's the striker? And maybe it was going to be a Gio Reyna false nine. And then once the graphics started coming out, once the game started, it was Sebastian Lazette who was at the false nine. And initially, he really wasn't playing as a false nine. Just because a player isn't necessarily a striker and they're the highest person doesn't mean it's a false nine. So at the beginning of the game, he was playing as a proper number nine. He was making runs to the box. He was, you know, doing hold-up play. And then a little bit in the second half, once it became a little more fluid, then he became more of a false nine. So I think the lack of a true striker definitely hurt in the starting lineup, but these are the games you experiment in. So if Greg Berhalter wanted to experiment playing, you know, a non-traditional striker, this was his time to do it.
Yeah, no, I agree. It was a little weird, but at the end of the day, like, what can you do? The game's already over, and we're just happy we saw our guys play. But let's go through the first half. What are some of the things that stood out to you that were kind of takeaways?
I think just in terms of just rust, it's new team, lots of guys who haven't played together. Tyler Adams, for example, hasn't played for the national team since early 2019. Anthony Robinson hasn't played for the national team in a long time. John Brooks even hasn't played for the national team in a long time. So I think first half, it was just guys trying to get their touches together. We saw a couple times, whether it was Conrad, Gio Reyna, just in the attacking third, sometimes it just didn't work out. And those are little kinks that hopefully don't happen when you have more than 2 days of training as a full team. So I think just the overall theme of the first half was a rustiness. People tried to do the right things, but it just didn't always come off.
Yeah, no, I agree with that assessment. I also think it was nice, you know, possession-wise in the first half. It seemed like that we were really comfortable holding the ball. And you saw a lot of times that, you know, they would try to get into the midfield and then turn back around, play it through to the center backs, even playing it back to Zach Steffen, who was actually, I think, a little more comfortable this time in goal. Had that one little hiccup with Tyler Adams, but we'll touch on that in a second. But yeah, I think it was a good just kind of overall controlling the possession, and we really held the game pretty well. It wasn't exactly a nice attacking output, but, you know, it was fine. And one of the things I saw in the first half that was interesting was a lot of people were saying that Anthony Robinson struggled. And I think he did for a little bit, but I think when you have him and Conrad on the left side, that's two guys who have never played together. That's one guy making his debut and another guy who hasn't been with Berhalter for a while. So I think that's a lot of responsibility on that left side, and we knew without Pulisic it was going to be tough. So I think take that with a grain of salt and say, you know what? All things considered, the first half was fine. And I think that there's a lot of positives to draw from. I think, like, it looked nice and Musa looked really solid and a lot of that stuff was good. And moving into the second half, I guess we can do that as well. Musa continued to look good. Weston McKinney was a beast. Is this a new Weston McKinney or is this the guy we've always seen?
Yeah, I think kind of touching on that, I would put Weston McKinney and Serginio Dest in the same category of, you can tell they have confidence on the back of their moves. These aren't the guys we last saw who were playing for Schalke and Ajax. These are Barcelona, Juventus players. They're players who start alongside Messi and Ronaldo, the two greatest players to ever play this game. The amount of confidence I saw from those two was unlike anything I'd seen from the full national team, maybe other than some of the stuff Clint Dempsey used to do. They were doing Maradonas. Serginio Dest probably had like six back heels. He had a Meg. He was doing L turns, Elasticos. It was incredible. And then we expect that from Serginio. We know, as they say, Serginio Dest has a swag. He always has that. But we think of Weston McKennie as a more robust box-to-box midfielder. Some people even thought he should play as a six. But Weston McKennie was all over the place. And usually sometimes that's a negative, but it was a positive. He was doing his job defensively. He had that nice tackle in the first half. And offensively, I've never really seen that ball control from him before. I think it was, like I said, He just had that confidence. He went on the field. He looked around who was on the field, and he said, I play for the biggest club on this field. I'm going to boss this game. I'm going to do everything in my power to show these people that I'm better than them. And it didn't always come off. There's a couple of times where, you know, he would do a scissor step. When he did that, Maradona went out for a corner, or not corner, went out for a goal kick rather than a corner kick. So it didn't always come off, but he was playing with confidence. He was playing like somebody who was a pure 10 or a pure attacker, and that's not really his job. So I think definitely the confidence was unlike anything we've seen from him in a U.S. jersey.
It was probably one of the best games we've seen from Wes in a U.S. jersey. Like you said, he was really supremely confident. I think like one thing I saw from him was like, he was commanding the team, and it wasn't just with the passes or with the ball at his foot, but you could see him just was a leader on the field. And I think Berhalter touched on this in the post-game press conference, just talking about the kind of leader Wes is. And he was, you know, always talking to the refs, always trying to, you know, help out his guys, and was really a true leader. So I really liked what I saw from him. I'm trying to think who else stood out for me. Obviously, I think it was a tough game for Gio Reyna. You talk about kind of the tactical responsibilities he has playing out on the outside. You know, Greg Berhalter wants him to stretch with width, but at the same time, be comfortable coming in. And when you have the Jet playing as that kind of false nine, sometimes it was almost redundant having them in the same space. So that was kind of tough for Gio, and nothing really came off for him. He looked good in spurts, but at the same time, like, it's almost a new position for him entirely. Do you have any thoughts on Gio Reyna and his performance?
I think one of the commentators mentioned it, and I agreed. It's a different role for Gio Reyna, because at Dortmund, he can get the ball in the half turn, take two touches, and he has a 6'4" Erling Haaland who's faster than anyone else on the field, making a run in behind, and he can slot that ball in time after time. Today, he wasn't playing with the true number nine. He had to do a little more. I think specifically about that one play where he gets the ball on the right side, and he just cut all the way across the box and then plays on the outside. So yes, that in order to do that, you have to be talented. If you're not talented, you're not going to dribble all the way across the box. But at Dortmund, when he does that, when he gets about probably halfway through the box, he can just slip in Haaland to go and finish one-on-one. There was no one making those runs today. So Gio Reyna, he's shown he's one of the top creators in Europe this season, up there for assists, up there in terms of playmaking. And you only playmake, you only get those assists if you have a proper runner off of you. And today, he was expected to be on the ball and that runner as well, which is not something he usually does at Dortmund. So I think in order to maximize his potential, you need somebody making those runs, because he's clearly shown in the Bundesliga that he can find them.
No, you're definitely right on that. There was a couple of points, like you mentioned, where he was kind of driving with the ball, looking for someone, and it just wasn't there. So I think that's one of those things we'll have to see how Greg Berhalter adjusts going forward. But all things considered, you know, for his first cap at 17 years old, happy early birthday to Gio, turning 18 tomorrow. You know, what can you say? That's a pretty good performance, all things considered. You know, for me, I think the guy that stuck out outside of, obviously, Weston McKennie, I got to say Yunus Musah. And I love talking about this guy because I feel like I was one of the early people to discover him. But I'm not going to take credit for that, besides the point. I thought he looked really, really solid and really, really comfortable. You saw it like in the fourth minute. I think he had this nice little turn and kind of moved the ball up the field. And he was really comfortable in possession, grew into the game really well. And I don't know. I just love that guy. I really hope he picks us. And you saw the energy that he could provide. When you have a guy like Weston who can really run forward, part of the reason why he can do that is because he has a guy like Musah and a guy like Adams behind him who make it possible. You know, it's not like it's going to be a liability if he runs around the field. Like, we look comfortable because of that. And I think Musah played a big part in that. Your thoughts on him?
I think Yunus Musah, he's 17 years old, turning 18 later this month. And he just played like he was an established player. It wasn't necessarily, he wasn't setting the world alight. I think first half, he was okay. He got some passes off. And then second half, he had that little early blip where he tried a scissor step and it didn't go well. Then after that, he had some really good plays where he was driving through the midfield. He wasn't afraid to put a shoulder in and get, you know, a little shoulder to shoulder with someone. And a couple of those runs, it's a little premature, but it reminded me of like a Yaya Toure, just when you're powering through the midfield on your stride, glide by one or two players. So I really was impressed. And at the end of the day, he is 17 years old. He is 17 years old. He is the age of a high school senior. If he was in the USA, he'd probably be, you know, getting ready for a biology test tomorrow. And here he is in the midfield of the US men's national team playing against Wales. So just that alone is impressive. I think if a 25-year-old debutant, if I'm thinking of an MLS guy, Will Trapp, well, they're completely different players, but if Will Trapp put in the performance Yunus Musah put in today, I'd be like, you know what? That was a pretty good Will Trapp performance. But now we're talking about a 17-year-old who has 8 senior games coming to play for a national team. He doesn't have the the luxury of getting to know any of these guys. We saw so many debutants, and but a lot of those guys have played with each other at U20, U17 level. Yunus Musa doesn't know anyone. We were talking about it. He's just raking up the follows now. He's only just starting to follow these guys. He's only just starting to build that rapport. So at 17 years old, to come into a completely new environment and play an average or slightly above average game is impressive in its own right.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And I think one thing for me that I took away off the field, well, I guess it's definitely on the field, when the pre-match picture, I sent it to you, he was smiling so big. It was reminding me of almost Jonathan Amon's smile. Like, what a smile that was. And it looked like a kid who was just very prideful that he was playing for the U.S. national team. And I don't want to speculate and say he's committing to us long-term, but I like that as a little thing that looked really good for us. And I think, like you said, he performed very well for a 17-year-old. He performed very well for a possible 25-year-old. Like, he performed very well. And I think, like you mentioned, in the first half, I think the entire U.S. team was kind of a little bit rusty in trying to figure out kind of how to play with each other. Like you mentioned, only 2 days to play with each other, so it's really tough to figure out, okay, what are we doing, you know? And so I think it took a while to really see that. And then once the second half came, you kind of saw that progression. And you saw kind of we were incorporating the buildup and getting forward more. And, you know, I was encouraged by the progress. I really was. And I think it was nice. I would say in terms of like tactical things that kind of bothered me, I think Berhalter was a little bit late in his substitutions. I was thinking maybe at the halftime we'll see Legette come off, or within the first 10 minutes we'll see him come off. But first off, he brought in Lainez, who we can touch on in a second, our buddy Uli. And then he was a little late bringing Gioacchini and Tim Way, and then Owen Otosawi as well coming in. So, you know, very interesting substitutions there we can touch on. But I think that was kind of a miss by Berhalter. He maybe should have made the move a little bit earlier. But at the same time, I understand it. It makes sense. You want to give the guys a chance to play for each other and play with each other. So, I mean, any thoughts on the substitutions?
Yeah, I think they did come a little late, and it also didn't help when he was trying to make the first substitutions. It took a couple minutes for them to come on. But I think right from the second half, we were dying to have a pure number nine. So it was a little bit shocking when the first set of subs come in and there's no Gioacchini, there's no Soto, there's no Wea. So they prolonged the Sebastian Legette experiment until I think it was the 75th plus minute that finally Gioacchini and Wea came on. So, you know, the subs could have come a little bit sooner. It was nice to see Johnny get a run out. I thought he put in a decent little shift. I'd love that professional foul. I think we'll be seeing a lot more of those from him over the years. Owen Otosawi came in, was only on the field for 5 minutes, but Owen Otosawi, we're all about pronunciations here. Or is it Otosawi? You know what? Somebody tell us how to pronounce it. Let's see, you know, drop in the comments below. But anyway, he came on and only was 5 minutes, but you could see some of that, his ability to be a big guy, but also have a clean touch. So the subs are okay. We're fine with that. And all that means is against Panama, there's a lot more debuts to be had. We'll see Sebastian Soto. We'll see Chris Richards. We'll see Richie Ledesma. I don't think we'll see Chituro Donze, but, you know, a boy can hope.
Yeah, definitely. I agree. I thought, you know, in terms of subs, I thought Uli Lainez looked sharp. You know, he hasn't had the greatest start at here in Veen, but he came on. His, like, first touch, he had a nice little turn and then put the shot on goal. So I was happy to see that. And I wanted to go in for him so we could claim that, you know, we made it happen for him. But I'm really happy for Uli that he's able to show out and look good. And also in terms of people that I was happy for, Tim Weah, man. Good to see him. You see that thing when Berhalter was about to get him to sub on. He does a little high five with him. And you see those smile from Tim Way, and you could see the confidence. He ran all the way down the side and saved the corner and forced the throw in for us. So I thought, you know, Tim Way, all things considered, he looked lively. And I mean, all the boys look lively at the end of the day. Like, it was just fun to see them play. Any thoughts on that, Tim Way? Any of those guys? Was there any sub that really stood out to you? You said that guy has a chance to really stake a claim. Do you think Cardoso is someone that he comes in? Obviously, he's probably locking in that backup six position, but he offers a little bit different than Tyler Adams. You know, he's not exactly one of those guys who will run around the field and close down players, but he was very comfortable in possession. I almost thought he played a little bit more of an advanced role and was really comfortable kind of passing side to side and offered something different. So I like that from him.
Yeah, I think he just showed that he was a South American player. It only took me 2 minutes of seeing him to notice he was a South American player. Savvy with his movement, savvy with his gamemanship. Even at the end of the game, after a final whistle, he was like playing with the ball, trying to, you know, still prolong the game, even though they stopped it early. So I think I'm excited to see more of him. Hopefully he does get the start at the number six. And I think right now that sixth position is one of the, you know, top brewing battles in the U.S. national team. Michael Bradley thinks his career isn't over. He still wants to get a crack at it. Jackson Ewell's put in a solid shift in MLS. And Tyler Adams, you saw him. He wasn't happy when he got subbed off. It's a friendly. He probably wants to save his legs, but no, he wanted to play the full 90. And then obviously you have Johnny, who's not flying all the way from Brazil to be a sub. He's, you know, he's in this for the long haul. So I think that battle at the six is very interesting because there's only one guy who's going to play. I don't think we're going to play dual sixes. We have too much attacking talent to do that. So I think that's a really interesting battle. So many young guys, so many older established players too. So I think that battle is really going to be interesting to see.
What did you think about Zach Steffen? Did you see any improvements from him? Did you think that there was a difference between Fortuna Dusseldorf Zach Steffen and now Manchester City Zach Steffen?
I actually did see a big difference, and it was in that one play that a lot of people are saying was a mistake when he kind of like smashed the ball at Tyler Adams. And that is the biggest glaring I play for Man City thing that Zach Steffen could have done. Because if you think about who that is for Man City, in training, he's probably playing with Rodri. You play that ball into Rodri, he's taking it down like a feather, turning and passing it to an outside back or a winger. So I don't know if Zach Steffen didn't realize that he's playing for the U.S. national team and that ball doesn't work, but he kind of smashed it into Tyler Adams and was like, dude, what are you doing? Like, we don't do this around here. But at Man City, and the thing is, you don't even notice it, but my roommate's a goalkeeper, so I always watch how goalkeepers play. Ederson does that for Man City all the time, where he will get the ball and he will literally smash it 5 yards into the six. And then Rodri or Fernandinho, when he was playing there, get the ball, literally caress it like a feather. And you think, how does that even happen? So Zach Steffen definitely needs to realize he's playing on the U.S. national team, not Man City. I know we all say we want him to get better at his feet, but do it to how the national team plays. But I actually laughed at that because I was like, yep, that guy's been at Man City, because that was a very Man City ball.
I will say, though, I think he definitely was more confident overall with his feet. Obviously, it wasn't perfect, that pass. We can pick out and say that was a mistake per se. But in terms of his comfort on the ball, like the ball would get back to him and he would just kind of sit there and wait. And there's a couple of times where he turned the ball over, whatever, it happens. But I think, you know, his passes were definitely a little bit better. He has this tendency sometimes to kind of float the ball out to the wings and that will get intercepted and quickly turn over. But I think his pass had a little bit more zing this time. So I think I was encouraged by just a little bit of progress there. And he was sharp on the one save he did have to make, or two saves, I think it was. So he was there. He was ready. And I think he's still the number one for the time being. Obviously, we don't want to read too much into that. He's our number one. That's great. Next question. But let's touch on also the center back position. I know we talked about that as an interesting battle coming into camp. What did you think about John Brooks and Matt Miazga as a pairing?
I think John Brooks, he's a guy who from the start, from when he first came to the U.S. national team, we knew he was someone special. And it's hard to remember how long he's truly been on the national team when he scored that goal in the 2014 World Cup. And the unfortunate thing is that he hasn't played as much as he should have. I think this was his 39th cap. So around 40 caps now in 7 years. He made his debut in 2013. And that's due to injuries. He should have been a player who has rarely missed a game over the past 7 years. But between injuries and other things, he hasn't played as much as we would have hoped. But this game just made it so evident. He is the only, you know, penciled in starter when it comes to center back. And he's left-footed. It's absolutely perfect. He is our guy. If there's an important game, John Brooks will start left center back every single day of the week. It's just who's going to partner him from now. And I think Matt Miazga did a very adequate job. He had that one little, you know, blip. He got a yellow card, I believe. But other than that, his passing is pretty solid. So I think you always want to set up a team around a system. But sometimes when it comes to a position, you need to set up a team to complement a player. So if John Brooks is your guy, you have to think, what is going to complement John Brooks? Matt Miazga is another big center back with decently soft feet. But then maybe you think, do we want a more athletic center back, like maybe a Chris Richards, or the way they had Aaron Long, who can keep up with the attackers, let John Brooks do the passing and say, hey, buddy, you get the ball, you pass out of the back. If the fast attacker wants to come, I'll run at him, you cover. Because Matt Miazga is slower than John Brooks and a worse passer than John Brooks. Is he a good player? Absolutely. But there is nothing that Matt Miazga can do that John Brooks can't. Whereas if you have an Aaron Long or you have a Chris Richards who are far more athletic than John Brooks, then that's where you get that balance.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I think that's something I'll be looking forward to for the Panama game. Maybe we'll see a John Brooks and Chris Richards tandem just to see what it looks like. Because I think, like you said, Miazga was good. We kind of know what we have in him. He's not a bad player in any way. He definitely is not the fastest guy. And I think that pairing is tough to figure out because, like you said, they're kind of very similar players. Obviously, they both were fine. It was 0-0. And at the end of the day, like, that's fine. But in terms of like Matt Miazga, it's one of those things where it's like, can we get better there? Yes, probably. So maybe Chris Richards is the guy that eventually takes that spot. But for the time being, I was fine with Matt Miazga. Like you said, he did have that slip up. He got a couple of silly fouls. He was kind of not necessarily struggling per se, but it was one of those things where it was kind of evident that if that's the area you want to make a change, I would understand it. You know what I mean? I think for other positions, I guess we can talk about Anthony Robinson. I kind of touched on him earlier. I think he was fine, all things considered. Was there anything that stuck out to you and you're like, what, we need to fix that, or we should build on that more?
I think we can't really talk too much about this game in terms of, this or that, all little details. We can nitpick all day. These guys have had two full practices. Guys were coming in Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. It's been all over the place. They're tired. For the most part, a lot of these guys have played a lot of games. So if we're nitpicking about things, no, I'd say let's just enjoy. Let's just enjoy that these guys got on the field. They're getting to know each other. They're building that rapport. If a couple months from now we put on this performance, I wouldn't be happy. If we're, 6, 7 months down the line and the US puts on this performance as we were playing a warm-up game for the Gold Cup, or we're talking about a game before the Nations League, I wouldn't be happy. I would say that's not good enough. But right now, for where we are, we'll take it. We saw guys got a run out. We saw confidence in Sergiño Dest. We saw confidence in Weston McKennie. We had two 17-year-olds on the field. Two 17-year-olds, two guys who should still be in high school right now on the field for the full national team. So there's so much we can nitpick on. So I'm happy with it for now.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. And I also want to mention that we're not even at full strength. Like, obviously, we can figure out what full strength actually looks like. But without Christian Pulisic, it's kind of hard to say, okay, this is great or this is bad. Like, if you have him on the field, like, we become so much more dynamic. And I think it's hard to evaluate that entire picture when you're missing someone like that, because it really changes the whole face of the game. Because I think Berhalter was kind of looking towards Gio Reyna to say, like, come on, like, we're going to need big from you. And we still will when Pulisic comes back. But at the same time, like, it makes everyone better when you have another, the biggest option to really build around. So I think that's a tremendous add to the table once we have that figured out. But I like you said, as it is right now, I'm happy, I'm content. We saw the guys playing and I can't complain about that. But should we look towards Panama and kind of do a little projection? What do you think it'll look like?
Yeah, I think, like I said, there's debuts to be had. We'll definitely see Sebastian Soto. I would assume either him or Gioacchini gets a start up top. We'll see how that goes. Rich Ledesma is definitely going to get a go, whether that's from the start or the bench. But the one guy I would say I would really expect to start is Chris Richards. I think he's one who he's definitely earned in terms of his club play. Obviously, we don't know how he's been doing in the camp the past couple of days, but I think it's against Panama. Give him a run out. For a center back, you're not really going to get a sense of who they are from a sub appearance. So I'd say, start him. Maybe he'll be with Tim Ream. I don't think Wolfsburg are going to want John Brooks to be playing, a lot more than 90 minutes. So probably will be of Tim Ream. So I think that'll be good for him. And Tim Ream is similar to John Brooks. I say that very loosely in the sense that it will give Greg Berhalter a sense of how's Chris Richards going to cover for a slower center back? How is he going to let a center back play out the back while he kind of uses his athleticism? And that's something that Chris Richards honestly might not want to do because he's very good on the ball in his own right. But in the system, the way it is now for Berhalter, it's clear that it would be John Brooks doing the heavy lifting. So I would be interested to see how he plays with the full national team. And maybe, who knows, maybe I'm completely wrong and Berhalter says, you know what, Chris, I want you on the ball just as much. So I think that's something I'm looking out for. And then also Reggie Cannon. We only saw a quick cameo from him. He didn't look that sharp because, like I said, he came in late. There's that one ball over the top where he kind of misjudged it. He didn't get a clean touch. So he's somebody who was came in as the most consistent player, along with John Brooks, playing every minute for the club team. So he definitely deserves a shot to get out there and show what he can do from the start.
Yeah, I wonder if we're going to see a more experimental lineup for Panama. Like you said, Reggie Cannon probably gets to start. Does that mean we see Sergiño flip over to the left side? And Obviously, we don't want him playing too many minutes either, but, you know, hasn't been starting every game for Barcelona, so maybe that's an opportunity for him as well on the left side. We just need to see what it looks like. I think, for me, I really would want to see that Chris Richards-John Brooks pairing. And like you mentioned, it's kind of hard for a center back to make his impact as a sub in terms of just figuring out what the chemistry looked like. So maybe we see something where John Brooks plays the first 45 and then comes out for Tim Ream, because I want to just see that pairing of our possible number one and number two, because Chris Richards is like long-term should be one of those two positions. And I think John Brooks for the time being and for the foreseeable future is also in that position. He's someone, like you said, we should build around. So I think I really want to see that. And I, like you said, it's going to be one of those things we don't know what it will see, but maybe even Cardoso as the six. And I wonder what the midfield will look like, because Weston was really good in this kind of I'm going to do everything role. And so I think that's something we'll have to see. Ledesma as well, how he fits with all of that. It might be another mixed bag performance where we see kind of the first half, everyone's figuring it out. I'm not sure what it's going to look like. And then it starts to come together for a little bit, and then you make the subs. So it's going to be tough. Like, there's a bunch of guys who still haven't played together. And just because you've played one game does not mean you have chemistry, right? So that's one of those things we have to figure out. And, you know, like you said, I'm interested between Giochini and Soto, what that looks like. Maybe Reyna gets a chance at the 10 to see what that actually looks like. Who knows, man? I don't know. I'm equally as optimistic as I was before the start of the match, and I think maybe a little bit more optimistic, if that's possible, just because, you know, I saw it and I was able to see that there is some potential here. And I don't know if there's anything else to look forward to instead of just saying we have another game. Like, that's going to be fun as well. Is there anything else specifically we should look forward to?
I'd say just players getting opportunities for the full national team. All these guys, a lot of them are young, a lot of first call-ups, so they have hunger. I'm sure the when Gio Reyna got off the field, when Yunus Musa got off the field, when the guys who came in the subs, Johnny, Owen, they wanted to play right away. If there was a game tomorrow, they'd be like, yeah, let's do it. So these guys are hungry. They're not going to be able to sleep these next couple nights. They want to play again. So I think that excitement hopefully carries on into the next game, because if everything goes well, we got a first national team goal from someone next game. That's the plan. Whether it's Musa, Gio, Giochini, Soto, we want a first national team goal for someone next game. I think that should be the goal.
Overall, I'm encouraged. Overall, progress. Still progress to be made. Overall, good positives, not many negatives. And at the end of the day, the USA played a soccer game. We can say that for the first time in a while. We can still preach patience and all that good stuff we love to say. But is there anything else we should touch on?
I would say three words. Bring on Monday.
Yeah, I cannot wait.
Let's get after it.
Did you have a prediction for the Panama game now after our last 100 USA Wales 0 prediction that didn't go as according to plan?
I honestly don't. I don't know who's going to play. I don't know who's going to show up. We might win 5-0. We might tie 0-0 again. We might let up a soft goal. I honestly don't know.
Yeah, man. We'll definitely have to wait and see. And I guess that's the fun in it. So to Monday, I'll be excited. I'll be looking forward to it. And we'll come back next week, break that one down. And then maybe we can do a big camp takeaways and actually make some spicy takes. Because I think it's best, you know, now we kind of leave it and say, let's enjoy what we have and watch the recordings. Maybe look more into it after that. And just say it was nice to see the USMNT back in action. So I think that'll wrap here for this edition of the Wango US Soccer Podcast. As always, rate, review, and subscribe and all that good stuff.